Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Major Zarian. I'm joined by the original radioactive man, Rich Stambolian.
Up and at them.
Was that his line?
Up and at them. You remember when they tried to make the Radioactive Man movie and he couldn't say up and at him?
No, I don't remember that.
When he just kept saying up and at them.
Fantastic. Radioactive Man, one of my favorite characters from The Simpsons. What's going on, Rich?
Not much, man. How you doing? Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We're doing it a little remote today. Looks like you're doing well.
I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm doing great. I tested negative like 18 times before the holidays, so that worked out for me.
You're just very negative in general.
I'm very negative. I was very negative in general. It was a good holiday, and then Christmas is always fantastic, and now we're in New Year's. It's my daughter's birthday on Saturday. It's a New Year's baby.
Right. Yeah.
So. A lot of fun.
That's cool, man. I'm excited. This is our last show of the year. This is episode 393. More episodes, and we're hitting that whopping 400 mark. 400 episodes of this. You believe that? 400.
Unbelievable. Bob in our chat room goes, who's chauffeuring Daisy to the LIRR today?
Oh, I think he means you.
Yeah. I think I'm going to walk it.
It's nice out. It's a little wet, but it's nice out. Joel Wood, $4.99. I love the majestic look of the fireplace and Rich's background while Andrew still looks plain as ever. Still love you, Andrew. That's funny.
Listen, I had Christmas trees. I had trees up last week. I turned it off. Took them away. I got rid of all my Christmas stuff. There's no Christmas stuff in my house.
Why?
I need a gun.
You got to wait till the 6th.
Too much. I know. I got to wait till the 6th, but too much clutter. I couldn't do it this year. Couldn't do it.
Did you pack everything up all by yourself?
No. So the deal is, like, I set everything up and Jess breaks it down and I pack it and then I take it away.
Set it up, knock it down.
Yeah. So where do you want to go? Let's begin. There's a lot of news, obviously, a lot of stories. Guys, yes. It was a fantastic year. Fantastic year. So, Rich, why don't you pick where we begin this end of year show?
Well, the hot thing on everybody's mind, because it happened yesterday, Toni Storm got her request for release granted by WWE. Apparently, it was just a parting of the ways.
Yeah. So she worked on the night before, right? She worked the night before, and then she just went home. And ask for a release. Listen, I don't know what the exact layout for this is. Like, you could, whether it's frustration from booking, you know.
Right.
She wasn't really booked great. And that was always kind of the story with Toni. And it's, what do you do with her on the main roster? You know, fantastic act on the indies, fantastic act in NXT. And where do you go from here? And really, I don't think they did great. When Rich, that link, by the way, link, click on advance and go to it anyway.
Yeah, I was trying to do that without bringing attention to it.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, do that because it's connected directly to me. That's why.
Okay, but it's also not giving me that option to go to advanced.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's all right. So we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Little side text in here.
Yeah. So
there we go. Got it.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
All right. On Explorer, not on Chrome.
I want to get your opinion. What did you think they did with Toni Storm on that roster?
I don't think they did anything with her. I think she... There's a weird thing with Toni Storm, right? I feel like they had something good with Ruby Riott, right?
Yeah.
And almost the same aesthetic, almost like not the same character, but there's a lot of similarities between the two, right? So... I think somebody was like, you know, we got rid of Ruby Riott. Why, you know, like if this one wants to be gone, we can let her go. Who cares? You know, like maybe she's not what they want out of like their superstars. Like they struck gold with Charlotte. They struck gold with Becky. They struck gold with Bayley and Sasha. Right.
Yeah.
What do you think is that inter-office mentality when it comes to, in this case, the women specifically?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
This is not a knock on Toni Storm, but I feel like internally, maybe they didn't see her as marketable as a Charlotte or a Becky or a Sasha. And we're like, hey, you know what? If you want to leave, you could leave. That's fine. We're not going to pursue you. You're more of a wrestler anyway, quote unquote. And I think now she's going to be free to do whatever she wants. And you know what? I feel like there's going to be big things for Toni Storm in the future.
I hope so, man, because she's fantastic. And, you know, she always had a cool gimmick. She has a cool look. I mean, comes from great praise for sure. And they just, I don't know what the disconnect was. They put in a program with Charlotte where she looked like an idiot for most of it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't agree with the way that they presented that. So I have no idea. Listen, man, traveling is rough. Schedule is rough. When you feel underappreciated, sometimes, you know, that brings you to a realization of I need to get out of here. Not saying that that's exactly what happened here, but you could kind of put two and two together. But I'm glad that she's, you know, they granted her release, and this is a very different company. And this is something to be said. This is not something WWE would have done a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, pre-pandemic. Oh, you want to leave? Okay, no problem. So also, I don't know what I don't know what the terms of this release is. You know, like, where can she go? When can she go? What can she do? I don't know.
So this is like an interesting aside right here. Joel Wood, 999, bodyslam.net reported that Toni didn't request it, but just up and quit. I was sympathetic at first, but once I saw that, my feelings changed. Your thoughts?
I saw that. I don't know the accuracy. I'm not saying that it's not accurate. I just don't know anything personal. I just know when I asked is that they granted her release. Those were the words that were said to me.
Interesting. Did WWE post a future endeavor thing, or they stopped doing that?
I didn't see anything.
Do you want to take this next super chat, or do you want to save that for later?
Let me see. Save that for later.
Yeah, Shavardhan, we're going to save your super chat for later, but thank you very much.
So I got to tell you, like, oh, by the way, thank you, Joel. She did leave. Like, she left and then I think called him and quit. So, listen.
I'm not coming back.
Listen, there could be a thousand things here. Could be a thousand things. It could be a thousand moving. You know, we'll eventually find out. I didn't really dig into it as much as I should have yesterday. I'll probably get a better answer this week today. But by the way, shout out to Sean for breaking that story. He did a great job at putting that story together and piecing it all quickly, which was fantastic.
Also, isn't she in a relationship with Juice Robinson, who's in New Japan?
I believe so.
And wasn't she part of like an all-star stardom squad?
She was, yeah. Maybe she goes to Japan.
Hey, that'd be cool. Return, right?
I don't know. I think for her, AEW would be a good... and AEW could definitely use her. You know, you don't get too many Toni Storms to pick from.
Yeah, that's true. And, like, she's great. She brings a lot to the table. She got great looks. She wrestles pretty fantastically. I remember, like, all of us were excited when WWE signed her. And then, and like, also when she moved from NXT UK to NXT and then to the main roster, you know? It's very interesting when WWE does this, like, almost anti-fanboy thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. So let's talk about this WWE Garden show that happened on Sunday.
So six people were in attendance.
So I think the final number was like 6,800, something like that.
Out of 15?
Out of, I think, 10 available. Okay. I think they only opened up 10,000. But this was, to me, shockingly low. Now, there's a number of variables here, right? I have a couple of buddies that work at the Garden. Someone that, one of them, very much in the know with the ticketing stuff. And he pretty much said, like, listen, everybody is equating this. Nobody's pointing the finger at WWE. And by the way, he's in the know of wrestling. He loves wrestling, this guy. Maybe secretly. I don't know. I don't know how public he is with this. So
he's on the DL?
He's on the DL. He said, like, listen, the narrative obviously is going to be, and most people, if not many, are saying, like, well, Omicron has, you know, 20% of New York City's infected with it. A lot of people are scared to go out. Also, the 5 and over vaccine mandate, only like 30%, less than 30% are vaccinated total, 5 to 12, whatever that number is.
Okay.
It was very small. Also, burnout, market burnout. Yeah. You know, they were just here. For Survivor Series, they were here two nights for Survivor Series, right? They were in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you also had AEW running the show out in Hempstead.
AEW ran the show, Belmont. WWE mm-hmm. ran the show in Belmont. They were at the mm-hmm. Garden in September. AEW was here in September. New Jersey also. It very well could be market burnout, but at the end of the day, if you have a hot product, people are going to come and see you.
At the end of the day,
this house show is for New Yorkers. It's a big deal if you like wrestling. It's a very family based show. You take your kids. Yeah. I think a lot of it had to do with that. I think a lot of it had to do with COVID. But at the end of the day, this was the third lowest show that they've ever done in the Garden historically, possibly the third or fourth. Modern era wise, this was terrible. I think 2004 they did worse than this. I think in 2004 they did, but product was slow.
Oh, wow.
So. I think it was 93, 2004, and I found a couple like odd, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. But this was not a good, not a good draw. However, on the contrary, Raw almost sold out Detroit.
Right. So, well, Michigan's a whole nother animal, and we know that from personal experience. A lot of Michiganites.
So, they're all crazy, man. They file down their teeth and they just bite people constantly.
Super violent after a couple
very
of years.
Very violent. Very violent, all of them. Suncast, he claws at me, MG Geek,
sharpen their nails.
So there was a lot of moving parts here. But for the whole, this idea that WWE's not selling well, they've been doing a house show tour that has not been terrible in some cities. Yeah. So depending on the market, depending on where they're going, I think, to be honest, there has been a tremendous saturation of the Northeast and Chicago heavily. Yeah. And Florida. Yeah. Florida, Northeast, Chicago has been saturated with so much wrestling where we're going to maybe see this, and we'll see what happens with AEW and how they start doing, because generally these cities are ahead of the rest of the country when it comes to interest in the product.
Yep. Yep.
One argument was from this guy, not my opinion, but the guy's argument was like, listen, dude, we could say it was Omicron all we want, but the night before, on Christmas Day, the day before, the Knicks sold out the Garden with 18,000 people.
Yeah, but it's also the Knicks.
It's a different type of ticket. It's a different type of, market. I get it. But, people weren't scared to go to the Knicks on Christmas.
Yeah, but also, I feel like you're taking the Knicks and basketball are family friendly, right? But I do think more adults are going to a Knick game than bringing their kids with them.
They are, but I think the holiday show, the Christmas show, is a lot of families.
Yeah.
Like, it's mostly corporate guys, for the Knicks every game. But I got to tell you, I work in Manhattan. I'm very much involved in entertainment and hospitality in the city. I can tell you, the city's dead. It is not good. The last 2.5 weeks, not good.
It's been great for driving into the city.
It's been wonderful for driving into the city.
Yeah, because there's nobody on the road right now.
Two Wednesdays ago, everything changed.
It did. Yeah, it kind of hit like this weird thing. We drove in. We've been driving into the city. Like, if I had to go in, and it's been like, knock on wood, like very, very free of traffic. Guys, if you want to super chat us, we'll get to your questions first when we do our questions at the end of the show. Thank you very much for the guys who have done that already, but we're going to get to those later. Just wanted to make note of that so we don't miss anybody today.
Yeah. All right. What else do we have here? So a lot of stars were pulled from WWE this week. A lot of speculation that it was Omicron related, COVID related. I know that Seth Rollins has it. Becky was pulled. I think Big E was pulled. A bunch of people were pulled. Roman was not on the house shows for precautionary reasons, from what I heard.
Sure. Yeah. That's understandable.
Which he should be, to be honest. And I think a lot of people, Vince wasn't at the show on Monday, so wasn't Kevin Dunn. I don't think there's a SmackDown on Friday, is there?
I'm not 100% sure.
I don't think there is because of the New Year's show.
Okay. That's right. Day one, right?
Yeah. So I don't know what they're doing with that. But no. I'm saying for New Year's Eve, I think Fox has something else planned.
Oh, okay.
So they're off, I believe. MG could verify that. But, Vince wasn't at the show. Kevin Dunn wasn't at the show. Bruce Prichard wasn't at the show. It's a best of on FS1. There you go. Thank you. Got it. That's what I thought. Yeah. So no actual wrestling happening. Day one is on Saturday, so this is going to be interesting. And they want everybody cleared for that. They want everybody healthy for that, because this is a big pay-per-view, by the way. Just because it falls on the first. It is a big pay-per-view.
This is the first time that they're doing something like this, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I'd rather want this than TLC. I'll tell you that. I don't care for that pay-per-view anymore. It's pointless.
Oh, 100%.
It's a pointless December pay-per-view that nobody cares about. Now they created interest in something, which is great.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
WWE to end COVID testing starting this weekend. Which, by the way, a lot of people are doing the same thing.
Let it fly. Everybody's letting it fly.
I do find it. I no political statement with this at all, but it is interesting how everybody's like, yeah, you know what? I think it's fine. You're sick. It's all right. Go to work. It's okay.
It's pretty nuts, man.
We've done a total 180. It's in a matter of days. It's amazing.
It's really nuts. Listen, I think now at this point, it's like, listen, for within WWE, it's probably like, listen, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, you get sick. You can't work. You know, yeah. I don't think they're going to make these guys work if they have COVID.
Well, a lot of businesses are telling people like, oh, you got COVID? I don't give a crap. You're coming to work.
That's insane.
Nurses, they got to work now. They can't take
Well, nurses also mask up and wear layers of PPE. So,
Jim Ross announced he is cancer free and returned to commentary on Dynamite yesterday. Fantastic. Great way to end the year. You know, last show on TNT, you had to have him call it, and I think he did a fantastic job. You want to go into some notes for Raw? I think we did this. Yeah, we went.
We already did notes for Raw, but Eric Bischoff appeared as the officiant in the Miz and Mary's wedding vow renewal ceremony. I love them as a couple. Is Bischoff in a weird place where he could just show up anywhere now?
Bischoff could show up anywhere, and you know, he is so perfect. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In that role. Like, he's so good in that role. Whenever he comes back on TV, like, you just want to dislike him so much on TV. By design. Not the man, but the character, you know? No matter if he's a face or a heel, you still look at him like, I dislike him.
Do you also save pictures of young Eric Bischoff onto your phone?
Dude, that's what my background photo is, just him with the jet black hair on my phone.
You're like, oh, what a guy.
Easy. And then, listen, this Edge thing, Edge went to Saudi Arabia, he had that match, and now he just dumps crude oil on people's heads.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the bloodbath, but regardless, I do like him using his vampiric elements. He's still a vampire, right?
He's spooky clearly guy. Still a vampire. Yeah, he never stopped being a vampire. He just hid it from us. He's back as being a vampire. He's not a Dracula, he's a vampire, right?
He's totally a vampire. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And I want your honest opinion.
Yes.
What is there anything on Monday Night Raw that does it for you?
This segment did it for me. The Edge stuff did it for me. There's really nothing. I'll be honest with you. Like, there's nothing I look forward to weekly that I say, man, I got to turn this on. I got to see what's happening. On SmackDown, I do. I turn on SmackDown because I want to see what happens with the Roman stuff. I want to see some of the matches. I want to see continued storylines. I feel like with Raw, dude, it's that third hour, man. That third hour. There's so many vignettes and promos and commercial break, then another vignette. By the way, I had the same criticism for AEW. I think there was some wonky booking with the flow of the show yesterday. But whatever, that really happens over there. But for Raw, it's a weekly occurrence.
It is a weekly occurrence. Do you think Raw completely lacks sociology?
There's no sociology left with it. Only psychology, no sociology. But you know what I do like? I do like the 90-minute abridged Hulu version of the show.
I got to start checking that out.
It's not perfect. But
does it make it more palatable?
Cuts the show in half. Yeah. Way more.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Way more.
We also had NXT this week. As evident by the house show and Monday Night Raw, a lot of people weren't on NXT television. Grayson Waller beat Odyssey Jones. It's fun. You got Walter and Matt Riddle during a Imperium MSK confrontation. Are you digging NXT 2.0, or has its luster faded for you?
I dig it for what it is. It's definitely not what it was, but I get what they're doing. By the way, not bad viewership. They did 660,000, 660 plus.
Interesting.
High number. So, and I keep saying this, you know, that number that they're sitting at with the six in the sixes, they're happy. USA's happy with that number.
That's fascinating. You also had
that's a good number.
You also had Harlan beating Andre Chase. You had a contract signing for a unification match. Solo Sikoa beat Santos Escobar, and the main event of Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade beating Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray, which ended in like a kerfuffle between Jade and Raquel arguing who got the pin. I caught the main event, and I not that I was let down by it, but it just seemed like the night was a bit off. You know,
yeah,
maybe it was
yeah.
because people who were supposed to be there weren't there. But I guess, you know, like you're saying, with the ratings, they're holding strong.
Ratings are holding pretty well. I'm shocked, actually, how well they're holding.
Yeah.
New Year's Evil, Tuesday, January 4th. So this begins starting this weekend. We have so much wrestling for the next like 10 days.
Oh, my God.
Between the Wrestle Kingdoms and the pay-per-views and, you know, TBS and everything. So mm-hmm. New Year's Evil, NXT title match, Bron Breakker versus Tommaso Ciampa. This should be the moment for Bron Breakker. Triple mm-hmm. threat for the NXT women's title, Cora Jade, Raquel Gonzalez versus Mandy Rose. NXT title for title unification. I forgot who reported this, but good on them that they caught this, that they're going to unify the titles. NXT Cruiserweight Champion, Roderick Strong versus NXT North American Champion, Carmelo Hayes. Yeah, that Cruiserweight title is unnecessary.
What's it going to be called? Is it just going to be called the North American Championship?
I think. Well, yeah, why not? Why not just do that?
Bring back the European Championship?
European Championship?
Mm-hmm.
European, I'm a peeing, everyone's a peeing. Imperium, Walter, and the Tag Team Champions versus WWE Raw Tag Team Champion, Matt Riddle and MSK. Weird matchup here. All right, whatever. And AJ Styles appears live to confront Grayson Waller.
Great. I think the Imperium versus Riddle and MSK match is going to be fun because it's like we're serious dudes that don't smoke weed versus we're fun dudes that smoke a ton of weed.
So this is the first week scheduled for January.
Hit it.
January 1st, WWE Day 1. January
Boom.
3rd, Monday Night Raw. January
Bam.
4th, Wrestle Kingdom. January Ba-bam. 4th. So we got Wrestle Kingdom January 4th, and we got New Year's Evil January 4th. January 5th, Wrestle Kingdom Night 2.
Bang.
AEW Dynamite, New Year's Bash on January
Boom.
5th. January, and then we also have Impact on Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the 6th. Friday Night SmackDown, January 7th. AEW Rampage, January 7th. Wrestle Kingdom
Great.
Night 3, January 8th.
That's the night I'm excited about. That's the Noah night.
That's the Noah night. AEW Battle of the Belt, January 8th. And Impact
Great.
Hard to Kill, January 8th.
So much wrestling.
Oh, boy. We'll see what happens.
Are we going to
we'll
cover all this?
We'll cover it. I don't know how fast I'm going to be able to watch everything.
Just put it on, like, double time it. Like, fast
double,
forward
yeah,
through.
Yeah. That's how I'll watch it. And also, Day 1 preview. This is taking place Saturday in Atlanta. This is going to be a packed house, by the way. It's a near sellout. Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. WWE
Great.
Championship match, Big E versus Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens versus Bobby Lashley. Fatal four-way match. Looking forward to both of these matches.
KO
takes it? Okay, cool. I'm into that. Bobby Lashley takes it. That's why I want to take it.
All right.
Raw Women's Championship, Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. Cool.
Liv
I'm into
it.
This match. Liv takes it? All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown Tag Team Championship champions, the Usos versus The New Day. Is this for the title? It is for the title. Edge
for the
versus
millionth time.
The Miz.
Can I pause you for a second?
Also? Yeah.
Can we rewind a little bit? Are the Usos versus The New Day our modern day Randy Orton, John Cena?
Dude, this is like the 1800th time that we've seen this, and I really don't hate that we're seeing this again.
No, I don't hate it either, but it's like, this is their feud. This is like,
but
WWE could always go back to the well with this.
What was a tag team feud like this that we had? Like long term?
Oh, my
this
God.
This long, ever?
It had to have been like something from like back in the day, you know?
I can't remember. Somebody give it to me in the chat.
Yeah.
Edge versus Miz. Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss. Now, this is probably Drew's last of the these matches before he goes back into that main event picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think
so.
This is a kind of a setup to kind of get him going to put him in that position. And we got Raw Tag Team Champions, RK-Bro versus the Street Profits. AEW Dynamite last night.
Yeah.
Very good show.
Fun show. Fun show.
Yeah, really good show. Last show of the year. They set a lot of things up for next week. You want to run down the card really quickly?
Yeah, so last night was a fun show. It opened with Matt Hardy and Private Party and FTR. You got a five Zos match. Or four Zos. Five Zos. Five
a people. Lot of these multi-man matches.
A lot of them with Tully, George Ole, and The Blade defeating Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Christian Cage, and Lucha Brothers with Alex Abrahantes in 12 minutes and 33 seconds. You had dissension between Pentagon and Christian, which I thought was kind of fun. I wouldn't mind seeing that match. Dana Garcia in 2.0 defeated Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz in 9 minutes. So Santana gets double teamed after the match. Garcia hit Santana with the ring bell. Jericho comes out to make the save, but Eddie Kingston gets in his face and he's like, "What are you doing?
What are you doing? What's your problem with me?
And I think one of the best parts about this Eddie Kingston character is because he's such a hothead on TV, he could feud with anybody, anytime, anywhere, and it makes sense because why not, right?
Yeah.
He's like the guy at the bar that, like, if you look at him funny, he'll be like, what are you staring at? You staring at something? You got something wrong with me? And then I'll start a fight with you.
All right, whatever. Do you think they're gonna go in a feud together, or you think they're gonna tag a little bit?
Who, Eddie Kingston and Jericho?
Yeah.
Did you watch Dynamite?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I think they're gonna.
If you watched it, you wouldn't be asking me that question.
No, because they have the same enemy.
I think this is gonna be like a big feud between them, and then Eddie Kingston can go fight somebody else after this.
I think they're gonna tag first, and then they're gonna be like, "We can't coexist," and then they beat each other up at a pay per view.
Isn't that a little patronizing, though?
What, that they can't coexist?
Yeah, the I can't coexist.
Nobody can coexist with anybody anymore.
Wardlow with Sean Spears beat Colin Delaney in a minute 20. This is also sowing the seeds for the Wardlow turn. You got like a little vignette with MJF basically telling Wardlow to win the chance to win the championship, right? And then Smart Mark comes out and tells Wardlow he signed a contract that basically lets MJF kind of take his wins away from him.
Yeah, so they,
the TNT title? Yeah.
I think that's pretty. I think that's interesting that they're going that way. I mean, I'm cool with it. You like it?
Yeah. Listen, man. I think this is setting up that Wardlow turn on MJF during CM Punk match.
They're gonna have to do it at some point because he's getting really over Wardlow.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm gonna say it. Where's Brian? Where's Brian Cage?
Very interesting, huh? Do you think Brian Cage would have been in this position with Team Taz? It's interesting how he's just not around and not mentioned.
Not around. Listen, we've heard that there's, you know, he's a little upset at his positioning, which I understand. But I think the Wardlow stuff is interesting because they've really put emphasis on his character and MJF and the problems between them for a while now. So it's going to have to break, like you said. Maybe the CM Punk stuff. I don't know when they're going to have that match. You know, maybe they do it at the pay-per-view. Maybe they don't. But, you know, this was MJF's moment to say, like, I'm done with you for CM Punk, and I'm going for the title. And then we'll see what CM Punk said later on in the show. But do you think Wardlow costs MJF the match? Or do you think he just walks out and doesn't interfere when he's supposed to?
I think if they do this right and almost as expected, Wardlow gets his chance for the TNT championship, rips up his contract, turns on MJF, and that's your like kind of built-in feud. Wardlow beats Cody, right?
Okay.
And then you get Wardlow versus MJF after the CM Punk stuff.
You think that'll be Cody's thing where he just wins the title and loses the title constantly?
I think so, because you know, if they're sticking with storyline, he said that he's not gonna go for the big belt ever, right?
Yeah.
So why not have him be like the winningest TNT champion? Also, did you catch Rampage last week where he won the belt?
Yes, I did.
Versus Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, yeah.
I think one thing that a lot of like in the internet of it all, him going for the for what looked like a pedigree was a really nice touch on his part.
Yeah, it was. What does he call that? Well, it's a Did it have a specific name for it?
Well, he did a stalled Tiger Driver 98.
Yeah, but did they call it that, or did they? I can't remember if they called it a Tiger Driver 98 or they called it like something.
No, they did. They called it a Tiger Driver 98, but he paused when he hooked the arms. Yeah. And I kind of want Cody to be like the biggest heel in the company at this point. I don't know about you.
Well, we'll go into that Brandy segment. So I don't know where if he's a heel, he's a face. I don't know what he is. This was and right going into this, Dan Lambert comes out. So
oh yeah,
I have to tell you my opinion of this promo between Lambert and Brandy is screwed up. Because I read what was happening before I saw it, because I just didn't have it on at the moment. I think I paused it, and I was really behind, and I didn't notice that I was behind on Dynamite. So I got to see my timeline blow up with everybody's opinion of this interaction. So you tell me, I want to know what you thought. You go into it, and I'll tell you like what I thought it was before I saw it and what my final opinion was of it. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of this stuff changes your perception.
Okay, so I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with this. I do love Brandy. I enjoy Brandy. I like her, right? I think I like her and Cody. I like them
together.
Overall.
Yeah.
Together, right?
They don't affect you like some other people.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I definitely see Brandy is very hateable on television. And while we're watching the show, I get texts from people who also watch wrestling telling me how much they hate Brandy. You know,
it's like, wild.
This show is so perfect. Why is Brandy on TV? I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I can see it. I think they lean into it a little bit. I think Dan Lambert definitely leaned into it yesterday, and it was a great promo on his behalf. Her coming out and saying he's like the poor man's Paul Heyman. Great. Nice pop. Him counteracting with saying, I prefer Cornette. Awesome. The guy's
big
a
heat.
Fan.
Big heat. Yeah.
Big heat. The guy's a fan. She goes, I'll slap you upside the head, etc. And they tease a fight between them. And Dan Lambert says, I'm a black belt. And then Brandy turns around and goes, you're a black belt? Well, I'm a black bee. Takes off her shoes and she's ready to like go after him. Dustin comes out to make the save. My sister-in-law's getting crazy. He gets beat down. I loved the segment. I'm not going to read too much into it. I think that was such a great turn of phrase from Brandy, and Brandy knocked it out of the park.
So I, Brandy did. Listen, man, people were unjustly upset at this interaction.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I don't know if it was like, I think it's a combination of Dan Lambert is very believable with what he is saying. Because I genuinely believe he believes what he is saying. He does not think wrestling is as good as it was 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever.
He's the voice. Time frame is. He's the voice of the voiceless in the regard of like
the 50
my
plus,
wife,
50 plus that hates wrestling.
Well, my wife will turn around and be like, you know, I agree with every single thing this guy has said every time he's on TV, you know, because she doesn't care, you know, so I think that's kind of funny.
And then so that's happening. And then Brandy just says, I'm a black bitch, screaming it. And I think that like kind of made everybody's like, is this racist spidey senses tingling? Where like people are like, oh, why does race, you know, whatever. I'm like, listen, man. It was a heated exchange. It was there was some reality mixed in. They did pretty good with it. Was it a little wacky? Like, yeah, I guess it was, but it's wrestling. Wrestling is wacky. I say the same thing about WWE constantly. That it's always wacky. So I enjoyed it. I really thought he was gonna hit Brandy though.
Same here. Same here.
I thought that they were gonna do it.
He's like gonna give her like a karate chop or some shit. Yeah.
No, like a karate kid. Do one of these.
Yeah. Oh.
I thought he was gonna hit her, and I'm still convinced that he's going to slap her, and it's gonna cause a lot of heat.
Do you think that's how Cody gets turned face, like properly, where like his wife gets beat up by this dude?
I don't know, man. You know what? I still don't think he would turn face. I don't think they would turn them face. I don't think people would cheer for him if Dan Lambert slapped Brandy. Listen, man, she looks fantastic, too. She just had a baby. She's on fire, man. I've always been a big fan of hers, even in WWE. I've heard great stuff about her from people that know her. Like I think Sunkass went to school with her.
Oh, interesting. Michigan. Like, there are certain things in wrestling.
Or
where
Chicago.
I'm like, you know,
Michigan.
Okay. Chicago.
No, Michigan?
I don't They are two cities.
Yes, they are. One's a state, one's a city. John would know. He's the one that lived his life. I don't know.
He's lived his life.
I have not. Michigan. Michigan. Yeah. John's lived his life. That's it. He's done. See you later. He goes back into his coffin and submerges into the ocean.
Life.
That's how he sleeps, by the way. You know that, right?
In a coffin underwater?
Yeah. Cool. So like he only comes out for like 15 years. He lives a life, right? For 15 years. Not a great life. He doesn't live like this, like, I have all this money because I've been living for 500 years. He just comes out 15 years. His timer goes off like Bishop. He has like a timer telling him it's time to go back home. He gets in his coffin and just dump him in the ocean in Lake Michigan. And then they pull him out every 15 years. He's like, He's like, not it. He's
like a cicada?
Yeah, like a cicada.
You know he could pull the plug on this whole thing, right?
He is like a cicada. He just disappears for 15 years, and then it's just multiple versions of him come out. Sometimes he's a vampire when he shows up. Sometimes he's like a normal boy. Sometimes he's an artist. Right now he came out as a photographer this last time he went away.
What's your favorite version of the Immortal Suncast?
Oh, the vampire.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you like the segment?
I did. I enjoyed it. But again, like my reaction to it, I probably would have liked it a little more if I hadn't seen Twitter.
All right. I hear you.
Because I don't go on my time. Like, I don't read my timeline. What I do, I actually keep like my tweet, like that I could send a tweet open quickly. Okay. And I don't let my opinion get kind of fumbled online.
This is when you duct tape your phone to your hand, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I duct tape my eyes. Put little holes.
Up next, we had the semifinals of the TBS Women's Tournament. Thunder Rosa showing up dressed like X-23, which is pretty cool.
Dude, that was awesome. And you know what? Everybody was like, oh, she's Wolverine. I'm like, no, she's not Wolverine. She's X-23.
Great outfit. Jade Cargill beat Thunder Rosa under extenuating circumstances. Mercedes Martinez, it looked like she crashed a VHS tape over Thunder Rosa's head. Nice surprise, right?
I took Mercedes it as like a mason jar. I thought it was like a mason jar.
I thought I blinked and it looked like an old VHS tape. Like
it was a reel to reel, dude. It was a reel to reel.
She hit her on her head with like a Coliseum video.
Yeah.
Turns out it was.
Dude, you know what video was? SummerSlam 92. She just walks around with it in her back pocket, always ready to slam somebody in the head. We did miss a promo here if we were to go back.
Did we?
We missed the Bucks and. It was the Undisputed Era and the Bucks, and I thought that kind of set everything up. So you got this moment where Adam Cole's there, you know, obviously Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, and the Bucks are there, and he starts a promo, and the Bucks like start interrupting, and it becomes like an interaction between Kyle O'Reilly and the Bucks where you could see that they don't really like each other for some reason.
Yeah.
And it kind of led into later on what's going on. So go ahead, sorry.
I like that promo, just to touch on a little bit, where Kyle was, they're basically taking the storyline from NXT and putting it on AEW.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that they're not doing the fresh start. They're like, yo, I know we got heat with each other and we tried to kill each other, but I want to know if you got my back.
Well, that's what they said. That's exactly what he said. He's like, listen, we have history, but we're in a new company. Let's just start over. Like, they acknowledged it. They're like, can I trust you?
Which pretty cool that they're doing.
Well done.
Very well done. So Jade Cargill beat Thunder Rosa with the help of Mercedes Martinez. Ruby Soho makes the save. So next week, Jade Cargill is in the finals of the TBS tournament. I think she's going to be the inaugural champ for TBS.
Who?
Jade Cargill.
You think it's going to be Jade? I think that's cool. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm cool with that.
And then your main event. Well, do you want to talk about that CM Punk promo?
Yeah, yeah, go into it.
So Punk comes out. Happy Punk. You know, Happy a lot Punk. Of people aren't a fan of Happy Punk. I dig it. Thanks, JR. You know, JR's cancer-free, gives him a lot of praise, which is really cool. And then he goes into, you know, a little bit about Brody, which was awesome. You know, it's a year anniversary since his passing, RIP. But then he kind of dismisses MJF.
Yeah.
But he does it in a way where it's a very wry wink to the audience of, yeah, hey, you know what? Maybe somebody's going to screw with you at some point.
Yeah, but you know, like the beginning was kind of like messy because this was the thing. Like MJF's like, I'm done with you, right? Like I'm not going to waste my time on you. And he was like, no, man, you're not done with me. I'm done with you.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you can't fire me. I quit. So, but he did say, you're right. He did say that, you know, they're both, his goal is the AEW World Championship. That's why he came there. Nobody in that company is there not to become champion. And that, listen, that's MJF's goal too. And they're going to meet down the road. You know what? Why not have a number one contendership for that match, right? Is that what, I think that's what they need to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Have some sort of tournament. The winner gets a number one contendership, and the final of that tournament is MJF and CM Punk. You could extend this for a while.
Absolutely. And this is when Wardlow turns on MJF.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Do you think
it,
they're gonna do a full turn, or you think they're gonna keep Wardlow as like the tease and he's gonna be like the good boy?
I like that they've extended this long. I kind of don't want to see it end soon, but I think they should extend, like, as you take this as long as you could take it. Because Wardlow still needs that development on TV like this. You know, that he's just killing everybody. I always have loved, and they did this with Ryback and it got him over. They did this with Goldberg and got him over. They've done this numerous times.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin, another one that got over with this. I love a big man that goes in there, murders you, and leaves. Done.
Yeah.
Easy breezy. It's a great way to build, protect the character. It's a great way to build the character. And it's a great way to, You're building slowly. You're not going into it in a world title match.
So that makes me think of something else, right?
I can't believe I said that they did something great with Ryback. By the way, that was something great they did with Ryback. I think a lot of people, revisionist history, everybody hated Ryback. People were loving it.
Well, you've always loved Ryback.
Back Rye. I like Back
you've
Rye.
You've always, that's what he's, that's Rye what his name on, Back Rye is his name on the indies.
Yeah.
Let's go into this really quick before we go into Rampage and the questions.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the disillusionment of the Pinnacle, right? At some point.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually. So I think you're going to be left with a trio. Everything is leading to trios, by the way, as far as we can tell.
Dugtrio Pinnacle's, from Dugtrio from Pokemon? What is it? Dugtrio?
Dugtrio?
Yeah, Dugtrio from Pokemon.
MJF and FTR are going to end up being the trio, right?
Okay.
Death Triangle is another trio.
Okay.
I think you're going to get Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz, and the disillusionment of the Inner Circle.
Well, you could still do the Inner Circle as a trio with Hager,
Sammy and Jericho.
Sammy and Jericho. And then you have another trio here. Hold on. You have Lucha Express with Christian.
Lucha Express. Right. Yeah. You have Darby Punk and Sting.
Darby Punk Sting, yeah.
Have the Undisputed, and then you have the Bucks and possibly a return of Kenny, you know? So this is a lot of this is being set up for trios.
Listen,
Best Friends?
Best Friends, another trio. They have trios all over the company. And it's I like the trios. I like that they're calling it, and they're not calling it 3-on-3s. They're calling it a trios match.
Yeah. Gun Club.
Gun Club, another one. So they are getting ready for this trios, whatever. If they do a tournament, that's fantastic. Years ago, Cody had said, somebody had asked him about the trios. I'm 90% on this, right? And because we've spoken about it numerous times, Cody mentioned that they are looking at a trios title. And I'm almost, listen, somebody tell me if I'm right or wrong, because I haven't had the time to look this up, but I'm almost convinced that he said that they were going to debut it on the Jericho Cruise, the one that didn't happen for them, obviously, because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, obviously, listen, they debuted the TBS title, the TNT title went through different fittings. Priorities shifted a little bit, things got a little different. But I do think a trios title and a tournament for this would be cool. I'm not a big fan of adding more belts. I know you're not like that either. You don't like more belts, but you think it makes sense, right?
It 100% makes sense because their belts are minimal. You know, you have the TNT title, the women's title, the big belt, and the tag belts, right?
Yeah. Well, they put importance on it. They put importance on tag team matches. They put importance on trios matches. And at the end of the day, these singles matches are what draws the pay-per-view, right? That's the match you want to see. If you could avoid doing those singles matches as much as you can and your audience is eating these tag team or the trios matches, great. Continue doing it.
You're gonna get the best of both worlds here. I think Tony's mushing up ROH, New Japan, and PWG in terms of, like, who's to say that, let's say, Death Triangle gets that trios belt, right? Pac, Phoenix, Pentagon, who are also the tag champs. All these dudes just coming out with gold. It's a cool visual.
Yeah. No, I always think it's a cool visual, and anything and everything to improve the product and make it look bigger than it is. I always say smoke and mirror, not that they need it, but smoke and mirrors goes a long way. And if you have more titles and bigger, you know, everything starts looking a little bit bigger, mainstream. It only helps with that casual fan that's flipping the channel. Because you know what? I got to tell you, you're flipping. You see some guy dressed in gold, you know, you're going to say, like, what the hell's going on here?
Like, this is pretty cool. Let me watch this. And your main event. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
Main event last night, Adam Cole and Red Dragon beat, and they called him Red Dragon, which is pretty cool, beat the best friends, Trent, Chucky T, and Orange Cassidy. Cole gets taken out by an errant knee from Kyle O'Reilly. The show ends with the Bucks basically being like, yo, he's our friend, and then Undisputed being like, yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like that's a good built-in feud right there. So you don't know if that's going to go either way. Is that going to go more towards a super click kind of thing, or is it gonna be like Adam Cole picking his favorites? You know,
I don't know. You know what would be? I mean, Roddy's always last, but I don't know what Roddy's contract is. So, like, it would be interesting if Roddy shows up, or like, let's say I'm just throwing Gargano shows up in a couple of weeks. You know, and he's incorporated in this. Where now you have a 3-on-3 with this. You have Red Dragon and Gargano against Cole. And the Bucks, you know, you can work that out. There's a lot of variables here, which I'm looking forward to. I thought they did a very good job with the main event. I think Kyle O'Reilly, I really hope he gets over and he becomes a big star in this company. You know what match I'm dying to see?
What?
O'Reilly and Danielson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. Last night, I'm watching this match. I'm like, man, I really want to see that match.
I want these guys to touch each other.
I want them to touch each other. Friday Night Rampage.
Yes.
New Year's Eve edition. Before we wrap it up here and go into questions, because we got to be quick. I guess I missed the 11:27, and I will get on the 11:57.
All right. So we got a good 10 minutes left, guys. We're going to bang these next shows out, and then we're going to hit your questions.
Yeah. Cody versus Ethan Page for the TNT title. By the way, I really recommend people watch this show. Everybody that was there said that it was a very good Rampage. Darby Allin versus Anthony Bowen. Acclaimed and Sting and Darby cut promos on each other ahead of the match. And Penelope Ford and the Bunny will take on Anna Jay and Tay Conti in a street fight.
Awesome.
I'm not going to give you spoilers, but this is a match to watch.
That's going to be very cool. We saw like a little bit of that spoiler. I'm pretty excited to watch that. Dynamite next week, their debut on TBS.
They should do very well with this because hopefully because they are bringing back the West Coast feed, right? So they're no longer doing the same time thing. So the West Coast is going to be on at 8 p.m. They are debuting with a better lead-in on TBS. And they have a huge match lined up. So let's go down the card, Rich.
Oh, my gosh. Adam Page versus Bryan Danielson for the world title. This is Adam Page, Danielson, part two. Again, maybe something's going to happen during this match, but you're going to have to watch our prediction show to find out.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Lucha Brothers.
Sorry.
Man.
This delay. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Andrew.
One, two, three. Same time. No, you go ahead. All right. Lucha Bros versus Jurassic Express for the tag titles. Ruby Soho and Jade Cargill for the TBS title. Malachi Black versus Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman with a cool Venom shirt on yesterday.
He did have a cool Venom shirt on yesterday.
You know, I want him to get misted and start getting poisoned into becoming the loose cannon.
Oh, I'd love that. Or he just joins Malachi Black as the loose cannon.
Ah, man. He needs to grow out the sides, man. The mullet needs to go.
That's going to be a fun Rampage tomorrow night.
Yeah. Yeah, Rampage is going to be fun. Dynamite's going to be fun next week. Plugs, best and worst of and prediction show all in the can. Coming out over the next couple days. Mattman Awards special Tuesday at 10:30 East. And voting open till midnight on the 31st. So, guys, go and vote. MG Geek worked hard on this. We're going to take our time on Tuesday and talk about it and go through our awards. Cast your ballots. Cast your votes. MG Geek has the link. It's also on our social pages and everywhere else that we are. So, let's do questions.
All right. Ba-boom. This first one is a super chat from Vashvardhan Shekawat. I hope I pronounced that right. This is from 40. I'm not sure of the denomination right there. It's 40-something. Who do you think are the next four AEW world champs in order?
Oh, man, the next four. All right, let's do this. I'm going to say it's Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Danielson, MJF, and Punk.
Kenny, Danielson, MJF, Punk. I'm going to go Danielson, Kenny, Hangman,
then Danielson. MJF. Oh, no MJF.
No MJF yet.
I mean, they tend to hold their titles for a while, so.
This could be like 3 years from now.
Yeah.
We got another one from Joel Wood, $4.99. This is touching on the Tony Storm situation. Everybody has creative frustrations. I just feel like if your solution was to quit, then maybe she wasn't the right fit there. Just my opinion.
I don't know if that's the key reason. I think, listen, when, you know, at the end of the day, no matter how, like, people are so polarized, right? But at the end of the day, you have started to become a professional wrestler. You have trained to become a professional wrestler. You want to end up in WWE, right?
Right.
Up until now, up until like a year ago, that was always the thing. That's where you always wanted to end up because that's where you become a star, you become wealthy, you become successful, and you can take your brand and go somewhere else, right? But now it's a little bit different. You're not stuck there. You don't have to be there. You can make money in different ways. Your brand is your brand. So a lot of this goes into it. Creative, the road. I don't know if there's something else coming into play here. You know, like, I stay away from anything that is a personal thing. I haven't asked about this, so I don't even know if it's personal. I don't know if she's having a tough time or what, but the reality is, people have the freedom. These professional wrestlers have the freedom to pick up and go now. They have another option. And you're going to see a lot of this. You're going to see a lot of people that say, hell with this. This isn't working out for me. You know, I've felt that many times. I've left the same company that I've worked with over the last 15 years four times.
Not feeling it.
Sometimes I don't feel it and I just leave and then I come back.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, I'm in a position where I could do that. But... Mm-hmm. You know, having this freedom, it clears your brain, really. And good for her. If she's unhappy, she should leave.
Absolutely. All right. This next one is from EMC4K, $4.99. Thanks, dude. The network show next week now has three title matches. Will a stacked card overcome Omicron and sell out?
Yeah, I think they're, what are they at? They're almost at 9,000. Jersey's a little... Jersey is a different breed. I think they'll do well there. I think they'll have 9,000 people in that building, you know, and that's close to a sellout. I think they only had open, like, let's see. Let's go to WrestleTix. How about that? WrestleTix. This dude is killing it right now. I gave him a plug on Observer Live, but I constantly talk about this. He does a great job at these numbers. Let me see what they're doing here. AW Dynamite, January 27. Let me see the network show. Oop. I can find out. I think they'll, listen, sell at a couple hundred tickets short, I still consider it a sellout. Same thing goes for WWE when you got a couple hundred people. By the way, Daily's Place, this was the third all-time at Daily's Place in terms of attendance at the building. You know, I thought that was that's a cool, funky building, Daily's Place.
That is a cool, funky building.
Let me see if I have this number. Go. I don't know. Where is it? It's in Newark, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'll find it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's go. I'm going to try to read this right. This is another super chat from Zeke Jackson. Dress shirt Zarin is back.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this. Hold on.
I think. Oh, nice. What are you doing? Are you doing them nips?
There you go.
Pump them nips. Pump those nips, Andrew. I think the COVID, the testing came in according with CDC guidelines being changed. Happy early new year.
Yeah, because I'm going to work. That's why I'm wearing a dress shirt. I think so. I think over the next couple of weeks, I think a lot of people are going to loosen their policies a little bit.
All right.
I'm hearing stuff from other non-wrestling stuff. I'm hearing.
We got another $4.99 from Frank Gradia.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about Rhea Ripley being unhappy and asking for her release? I think she's the future and needs to be elevated.
No, I've heard none of that, and I think they very much know that Rhea is a once in a lifetime get for them. You know, her size, her power, her presence, They're very fond of her. So I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah. I think she's going to be okay.
She's fantastic.
Another $9.99 from Joel Wood. Yeah. Thanks, Joel. This is the second time in as many weeks with the quote unquote less talented line. I'm not sure the best way to portray your company is by saying the talent on TV are less talented versions of your competition.
What is that in reference to?
I am not 100% sure. I would imagine the Dan Lambert thing and possibly something on Monday night.
Yeah, Joel, if you could add what that was in reference for.
I think that maybe it was directed at the Paul Heyman thing. Like, you're just a poor man's Paul Heyman.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that. Guys, we're doing our questions. If you want to super chat us, feel free to super chat us. Your question will get shot to the top of the queue. This is a lot of fun. Let's take this question from Twitch. This is from Lenny Banner. This time next year, where do you see Hook?
TNT champion.
Dude's over. He's over. Did you watch his match on Rampage?
Okay. Let me tell you. I'm very into this Hook push.
Yes.
People are loving it. They should. Don't let anybody shame you into not liking him. Now, should Hook become world champion and get a title shot? No. But this is a fun, cool way to get someone over from the beginning. And this is organic. Oh, yeah. It's happening organically online. I think, you know, some people are like, he just started and people are in love with him. I'm like, why not? Let them like him. Who cares? He has a cool look going. He has the hair. He's a nice boy from Massapequa, Long Island. He has the Bloodsport shorts. You know, I'm into this. It's cool. Now, a lot of big fuss over that pop, you know, that pile driver that he no-sold or whatever. Was it a pile driver?
Yeah, shoulder breaker.
Whatever it was. Oh, the Rikishi driver. Yeah. It was a Rikishi driver. You're right. He no-sold it. Like his dad.
Yeah. Why are people so upset? They're making him like the human suplex machine too.
Yeah. Why are people so upset? I don't, there's so many tiny nuances in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
That you could lose your mind over. Like, this wasn't one of them for me. I'm like, Hook. You know what? And good for him. And I'm going to say this, and not because I don't want Taz to yell at me anymore.
Right.
Okay. I told the story. Did I tell you the story? Did I do it on this show?
Yeah, you told the story like 40 times.
1998. You started. No. Not over the tweet. Not over the tweet. 1998.
Oh, no. Last week you told the story.
Okay, I did. I can't remember where I am anymore. Honest. But last week, my brain was mush. The dude is doing his dad's gimmick. Who cares? I'm fine with it. And even if WWE, I said something like, I'm fine with it. And someone's like, if this was in WWE, what would you have said? I'm like,
still fine.
There are 5,000 examples in WWE that are far worse than this, and I don't complain over.
You know what's funny? People think we're critics and journalists.
Okay,
we are neither.
We are neither.
We're neither.
Somebody, you know, I said that somebody lost their minds on me, like a journalist. Okay, he goes, you keep saying you're not a journalist. But don't you have a following? You have a responsibility to, like, he didn't like, and it had nothing to do with like that tweet from a couple of weeks ago. It was it was the fact that I keep saying I'm not a journalist, and that bothered him. And I was like, listen, I'm gonna explain this to you. Like, media personality, podcast, or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
I work in industries because of my consulting company that give me access to people. Okay.
Right.
I'm told a lot of stuff. Sometimes I don't even talk about it. Because I don't feel like it's necessary for me to ruin an ending or talk about some. I do this for fun. We do this because we love wrestling. We talk about it. We follow like our own personal rules.
Absolutely.
Of reporting. Like, there are times I message Rich. There are times that I will message Rich and I will say, listen to this. I will never talk about this publicly. And I send him what I send him.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the end of, you will never hear that out of my mouth because it's not my thing. The other thing, I think it's a freaking insult to call me a journalist because I don't feel like I put in half the work that actual journalists do.
Right.
And not because I'm lazy, because I don't do it.
I think folks don't get the difference between being a podcaster who knows what they're doing and reporting on stuff than being a journalist and actually getting out there and doing the due diligence and having your degree and having a degree in English, et cetera, and journalistic studies and all that kind of thing. That being said,
here's Bob Rose's comment.
I think that being said, I think Armenian Jim Jones. That being said, I do think we should stray away from the word podcaster and let's just be called pod people.
Pod people. That's it. We're all pod people now.
We're pod people.
By the way, beautiful photo you took of Bob Rowe there. You took that photo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
He is my attorney.
That was a good photo shoot.
Bob is my attorney. He is my accountant and my parole officer.
And your consigliere.
And my male chaperone.
Joel Wood clarified it. Joel Wood, another $4.99. And a few weeks ago, Punk said MJF was a less talented version of The Miz.
Okay, yeah, I get that. I get it. Yeah. I get some people don't like it, but majority of people that hear that, it piques interest. Go ahead.
I agree with you. It piques interest, but it's also like it's interesting. It's interesting to see where they goes. I don't think it hurts anything, though, to be honest.
Let me just, and then we're gonna move on fast. But I do want to say, yeah, like the reason why someone just mentioned, he's like, why do you find it insulting to be called a journalist? I'm like, no, it's not insulting to me. I think it's insulting to
actual people. Journalists. Like,
okay, Sean Ross Sapp, buddy of ours, right?
Yeah.
Do you
journalist.
Know how much effing work he puts in to his stories? Due diligence, reaching out to multiple people. I'm just someone that's told things. I don't have like six or seven sources that I verify with. If it's a big thing, I will try and I will put it together. You know how many times I've messaged Sean and I was like, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Here you know, I can't do anything with it. Or even like Dave.
Right.
Wade Keller, you know, like these are guys that are actual journalists in the field. Known journalists. Like I don't want to be on that level. Mm-hmm. I can't, because it's not my job. I have a full-time job. I have a full-time career. This is something I love to do. Same thing with you. You've got a full-time career too.
Absolutely. And you know what it is? It's also like, again, not to harp on the point, but I think people just need clarification as to what is what. There's a big difference between being a journalist and writing articles for a website. There's a huge difference.
Huge.
You know, huge.
I'm very protective of that term journalist, because there's a big difference between a journalist, a blogger, a reporter. There are big differences. All right. Sorry, Rich. Go ahead.
Dylan Bishop for $4.99. If you could make a one-for-one trade of wrestlers between WWE and AEW, who would you choose? My weird swap would be Chris Jericho for Io Shirai. Dylan, thank you very much for the super chat. And that's a good question.
That's a great question. Okay, you want mine?
Go ahead.
I would trade Marco Stunt
for
Roman Reigns.
Ooh, that's there a crazy one. I'm gonna do the mega swap.
Harry Roman Targinian.
Harry, baby.
Horny Harry's in chat. But what you gonna do, Roman and who?
Roman and Kenny.
All right, that's a cool swap. That's an equal spot. Yeah, swap. Horny Harry. Can we get a Photoshop of Andrew looking like Walter Cronkite announcing WWE releases?
We tried to do that last year.
Didn't
Remember
work.
When we wanted to do like Newsboys and it just didn't work.
Didn't work.
We got all dressed up too with like our sleeves rolled up in white shirts and black ties. This is from Zeke Jackson. Another $10. I will say this. Thank you, Zeke. I will say this about Tony Storm. I hated that last match with Charlotte. The feud was about pies, and Tony looked like she wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Tony got 8 moves of offense. This kept Flair strong. Only agreed.
Yeah.
You know what? Greener pastures for Tony Storm.
Yeah, that, I definitely think that. All right, you want to do fast rapid fires? I got 5 minutes.
All right, we're still getting these super chats. So,
all right, cool.
Frank Gradia, $4.99. Nice. Do you think we have to worry about Roman Reigns leaving again for a while because of Omicron? I also heard a big angle is going to happen at day one.
Do you think we have to worry about Roman Reigns leaving again? I don't think so. I think they're gonna do it very carefully with Roman over the next couple of weeks. They're not stupid with him, especially. I don't know if it's an angle, but I have been told, like, watch this pay-per-view. You should watch it, because I made this comment to somebody over there, and I was like, oh, it's my daughter's friend of mine asked if we're doing a watch along that's over there. And I was like, oh, I don't think so, because it's my daughter's birthday. He goes, well, I really suggest you watch this show.
Oh,
so
interesting.
I have no idea. The last 2 months, it's my busy season with work. All my clients need me for everything. and Omicron kind of, you know, derailed a lot. So I have not been on top of this stuff. So probably in the next couple of weeks, I'll have more information about Royal Rumble and everything. But my God, it's almost Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. So I don't know. I suggest watching it.
All right. Do you got to get out of here?
I got, let's do like two more, three more.
All right. This is Oddity on Twitch. Do you see a lot of promising names in NXT to replenish the women? Gonzalez, perhaps, because of size, but I don't see someone like Kai doing well. Cora Jade has Paige 2.0 vibes, but I could easily see that becoming a Liv Morgan situation. Any ideas?
Yeah, I think they need to. They definitely need to replenish the women's roster on NXT. I think they're doing a good job at kind of highlighting Toxic Attraction, because they're the main act, really. I'm never really concerned about the women's side of WWE and developmental, at least up until now, because they've done such a magnificent job at this. I don't think anybody could argue. You know, I made that post about, you know, who was the biggest success to come out of WWE Performance Center, not non-experienced, you know, non-known, unknown name to come out of there, and definitely is Braun Strowman for the men, and Baron Corbin for the men. But for the women, it's endless, the list of people that didn't have mainstream exposure to the product. You know, okay. The fans didn't have exposure to them. Bayley, Paige, well, some of them was FCW, but okay.
Yeah.
Bayley, Charlotte, Becky,
Sasha,
Bianca.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and then you could add
Bianca's
the other
a huge
tier.
Standout.
I would say Rhea Ripley, even though she was, you know, known to independent wrestling, but not a lot of people. Rhea Ripley, another one. These are not people that had a huge following coming into the company and then
correct.
Used that for their advantage. No, these were people that worked, went through the system. Charlotte maybe had the biggest advantage because she's a Flair, but nobody else had that advantage, really. And they've done a tremendous job with the women. Liv Morgan, another one. That whole roster is developed in NXT.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%, Andrew, and that's not a rarity, but it doesn't happen very often.
99% only.
You want to do one question?
One more question? Yeah, let's do one more.
All right, this is from Jonathan. This is a good one. We'll end on a high note.
Yeah.
If we were a trio, what would our stable be called?
Oh, man. Okay, so you would be like the brawler, right? That would be you.
Sure.
I would be more like the technical guy.
Uh-huh.
And he would be the piece of shit, right? He'd be the cheater, the big heel in the group. Like, he would do, like, dastardly things.
Sure. I got our name.
What is it?
I would call us the Go-Go Boys because we have so much stamina that nobody could keep up with us.
The Go-Go Boys. And I mean that in the best way, Jonathan, that you're a piece of shit. Like, not in a bad way. You would do the whole gimmick. You would do the whole Jonathan from Jersey gimmick, which I'd be cool with. I'm into this. And what's MG Geek doing?
MG Geek would be our manager. He'd be like,
he's
Paul
our manager.
Ellering.
Yeah, he's our Paul Ellering.
And he would have a writing crop, but he'd keep trying to like kind of like whip us with it, and we're like, yo, stop.
And he's like, guys, you need to incorporate more sociology in your matches.
And then he can get into a feud with Joel Pearl, who wants to be our manager. So you have the battle of the managers.
Beautiful.
Right there.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Excellent.
Love it. Yeah. Love you guys. Listen, this has been, in all seriousness, this has been one hell of a year for the show.
Oh, yeah. Right? It's great.
This is probably the biggest year that we've had. I've never had this much fun covering wrestling, talking about wrestling. You know, like, listen, $85 we did on Super Chat today, right? For a question. By the way, we are going to do a Q&A episode coming up also this coming week. So, and that's going to be, you know, submit, you know, and the money, by the way, the way that we're doing this, the money goes to production. The money goes to MG Geek. The money goes to Suncast. The money goes to Jonathan. Rich and I are not really making money from this. And that's kind of by design. Maybe next year we change that. We have some ads and we start making some bread on this. Not against making more money. But what you guys are doing really helps us out to keep the show growing. I think we've done a tremendous job with the growth with this. I need it for my hair piece. And Rich, I'm going to show you something. You ready?
I'm ready. You gonna take it off?
Ready? Hold on, I'm gonna take it off. Ready? I deeply, genuinely, I mean, you guys have made this so much fun for me, and it's like a new not a new life, but it's a new chapter in my life that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. I don't think Rich expected this either. We've been doing this for so long. We do this for fun. This was an unexpected surprise. We put in a lot of work for it. I think the team has been fantastic. I couldn't ask for a better group of fucking lunatics that on the show with us. Like, dead serious, between Jonathan, Suncast, and MG Geek, they've really elevated the show for us.
Absolutely.
And
they've
really
organized.
And listen, when I'm honest about this stuff. I get a little emotional about this stuff, but it really has changed the trajectory of my life. Not a financial way, but like as far as like having fun, I don't think I've ever enjoyed doing a podcast this much. And it's the community, it's the guys involved. Obviously, F4W has been tremendous. Brian has been great to us. Dave has been great to us. Tony from, I think, someone that doesn't get a lot of praise, it's Tony from F4W.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think they know that the man behind the operation there. But everybody there has been so supportive. The community there, the empire over there, it's been a tremendous, tremendous year. And I'm very grateful for each and every one of you. With that said, the cutest boys in podcasting, sign off for 2021. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.